Good morning. Thank you for joining us at our live stream here at Northgate Baptist Church. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are out there joining us. Also, it's the first day of summer. Well, yesterday was the first day of summer, so it's summer. So we have like a lot to celebrate this morning. And as we go to our announcements, we see that as well. Many things to celebrate. First, a couple of showers. First, a baby shower for baby Isaiah, for Josiah and Carly's little guy. If you're interested in that, you can. It's a virtual shower, so they're not going to have any gathering. But if you'd like to send a gift, you can contact Alex M. Before June 30th to take part in that. We also have a bridal shower for Juliana. That's going to be July 6th. And if you'd like to contribute to that or attend, because that will be here at the church on July 6th, space is limited, but you can contact Brooklyn B. about that as well. We also have a couple other opportunities, serving opportunities for people. First is we are continuing to look for people who would like to either be in a small group or be a small group leader going into the fall. So if you're interested in any of those things, please contact the church. Training and resources will be provided if you're interested. Also, just want to highlight the Pregnancy Care Center. Today is usually the last day we announce the Baby Bottle Campaign. Just a fundraiser for this very important ministry. It goes from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So if you want to contribute to that, please do and continue to support that ministry. It does such a wonderful job. We also, as a church, just recently had a chance to work on an informal a sort of partnership with a ministry called Arts on the Avenue. It's a ministry called Families Helping Families. And if it's basically partnering a family in need with a family who's more able to help meet those needs and just getting them together. So it's a real opportunity to meet a practical need in that family for things like groceries. But there is also a chance to possibly build relationships there as well. If you're interested in something like that, you can contact Rob and Edith for more information there. Also, for those who connect with us through the webpage or through the who get the bulletin, or even if you saw the slide this morning, as a church, we are also looking to update our branding, our logos, those kinds of things. We are going to have a short video on the website very soon that you can click on. We're asking for feedback. Let us know what you think. Take a look. And that's something we're going to be rolling out in the next few weeks. Also, next Sunday, we have a guest speaker who's going to be joining us. Brad Baker, who is a graduate from Taylor Seminary, is going to be bringing us just a short word from the Lord, just telling us what God has put on his heart. So just thankful to give Brad that opportunity. And it gives me a little bit of a break as well. At this time, let's just pray for our time together. Father God, thank you so much for this day that we have just so much to celebrate, and we just see so many opportunities before us that we can serve and just make a difference for your kingdom here, even right here in our own community. And Lord, as we gather to celebrate fathers, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us in a very special and powerful way, even though we are separated in distance, that, Lord, your spirit would be with us, just uniting us together as a church. We pray that you would be with us. Especially as we bring the word a little later, that, Lord, your spirit would be moving in the hearts of each person who is listening to this message. And, Lord, again, just be our very special invited guest in all that we do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, because it is Father's Day, we have put together just a short little presentation in order to sort of honor dads. And we did it in a way that we thought dads would appreciate most with a couple of dad jokes. So I'm just gonna let Phil play that and just hope that you enjoy it. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them up with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And you'll probably notice right away, we are not going to the book of Ruth this morning. That's, of course, because it is Father's Day. And we want to look at something that can honor our fathers. And I admit, When it comes to preaching about on Father's Day, I always sort of have very sort of mixed feelings. I know that when I started out in ministry, I didn't have kids. So I sort of felt like, who am I to be, you know, telling fathers how to raise their kids? I don't know anything about raising kids. Then I had kids of my own. And then I was like, now I really know that I don't know anything about raising kids. In fact, for the first 5 years of my kids' life, my main goal was basically just let's try to keep them alive. I even made that a slogan, keep them alive till they're five. And now that my kids are older, you know, every day it feels like there's some sort of new challenges that I still feel often just very unprepared for. To this day, if I can get all of my kids to the same place for an appointment at the same time, on time, with their hair combed, to me, that's a major victory, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. You know, I often say, you know, when you buy a microwave or a TV, they come with instructions. It comes with several different languages, all kinds of warnings, things to do, things not to do. But when you have a baby, they just hand it to you in the hospital and sort of wish you luck. And it's said every day about 300,000 men become fathers for the very first time. And chances are all of those dads felt very much like I did. So I don't want you to think of me any kind of expert. In fact, there are days as a dad when you feel like the only real area about fatherhood that you can speak to with any authority is to say, this is something you definitely shouldn't do. And yet, for all of that difficulty, all of that hardship, all the hard work, I can tell you that being a father is one of the most wonderful and rewarding things that God has ever blessed me with in this life. But before we go any further, I think we just need to acknowledge that Father's Day can be, it's not a day that everybody always wants to celebrate. Because we don't live in a perfect world, and none of us ever had perfect fathers. And let's be honest, dads' mistakes are made. And not everyone had the best relationship with their father. Sometimes dads end up hurting their kids, sometimes more than they help. You know, sometimes, as dads, I know this well, we're called to be single dads. That's a challenge all on its own. Some people, as it comes to Father's Day, have lost their dads. And that makes this day very painful too, especially if that loss is one that's more recent. You know, Father's Day can bring with it a whole range of emotions, you know, from joy to pain, loss, regret, sometimes anger. And we just want to recognize those things as being very real in our lives. But again, none of those things are reasons to throw fatherhood out with the bathwater. Because while no father is perfect, we can say that God's perfect plan for the family includes fathers. And that's our goal today, is just to do all that we can to honor and encourage the men listening as fathers, and to be the kind of fathers that God is calling us all to be. Because the truth is, fathers are incredibly important. I came across some statistics a few years back that let us know that fatherless daughters are 164% more likely to have a birth out of wedlock. Fatherless sons are 300 times more likely to end up in jail. Fatherless teens make up 70% of all juveniles in institutions. Fatherless sons are 35% more likely to experience marital failure. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of high school. And 80% of adolescents who are admitted to hospitals for psychiatric reasons come from fatherless families. And even today, somewhere between 40 to 50% of all children are being raised right now in a home where the father is not present full time. We live in a world where we have kids growing up without fathers, and it's considered normal. And that's what actually led Charles Stanley to say that because of the epidemic of fatherless homes, we are raising one of the angriest generations of young men and women in history. So never think that fathers don't make a difference. And with that in mind this morning, we want to look at this passage from Luke chapter 8, just to see some lessons that we can learn about what makes a great father, a faithful father, And I'm not saying this is a perfect father. This isn't a father who never makes any kind of mistakes. But this is a father who makes a difference for his family. In fact, this is a father who is literally the difference between life and death for his child. And the father's name was Jairus. And this is the way that Luke introduces this father to us. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40, he says, "Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying." And you know, that might not seem like much to go on, but even from those few verses, we actually can learn a thing or three or four about the kind of father that Jairus was. First thing I learned was that I've actually been pronouncing his name wrong for a lot of years. I always thought it was Jairus, but it's Jairus, so that's my bad. But we learned something far more important about Jairus, because we're actually told Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. And that meant Jairus, it was his job to oversee the daily operations that were needed to keep the synagogue running. He'd be kind of like a church deacon and board member and elder all wrapped up into one. So he arranged the services. He would choose who got to read the scripture, who would speak that day, who would get to pray for each meeting that they held. Now, he was the keeper of the biblical scrolls. They were property of the whole community, but they were sort of his responsibility. So there was a lot of responsibility. And keep in mind, he did that probably as a layperson. So that's something he did on top of his day job responsibilities. So he worked at his regular job. He had all of these responsibilities where he volunteered. And then we know on top of all of those things, he was also a dad to a young daughter and also a husband. And with all that was on his plate, I think Jairus teaches us fathers the first thing we need to learn about being faithful dads. And that's, we need to find a healthy balance to all of the demands of life that life just puts on us. Because as men, as people, we can often be prone to sort of letting one area of our lives sort of dominate and overwhelm another. And when it comes to men, often it's our work. In fact, men, we often define ourselves by our occupation. Someone asks you, you know, who are you? You say, I'm a plumber. I'm a teacher. I'm a pipe fitter. You know, we define ourselves by what we do. It becomes part of our identity. And don't get me wrong here, because men as fathers, we should be known as hardworking. We should be very productive with our lives. And we need to do all that we can to provide for the needs of our family. You know, keeping food on the table, a roof over the heads, clothes on our back. Those are things as dads we can't overlook. We have to work. But even as I say that, we need to remember none of those things should come at the expense of our family. Because too often, I think men think that if they give their kids lots of toys and money or put their wives up in big, beautiful homes and give them nice cars, that they've done their job as a father and a husband. But you know what? They're wrong. You know, if your career keeps you from getting involved in your kids' lives, if you don't have time to build your relationship with your wife and your children, if you're too busy or too tired to connect with your family emotionally, your life may very well be in need of adjustment, in need of finding a better balance. Because we must work and work hard at times, but we must not let our work consume us. We need to find a proper balance in our lives. There's actually a story that I really like that illustrates how true this is. It comes from the Journal of John Adams. He was the second president of the United States. And one entry that the president made one day in his diary simply went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. And yet his son, Charles, also kept a diary. And on the same day, the son's diary read, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." That is finding balance. And that's why it's so important to make sure we find time, not just for what we do occupationally, but for our families. And Jairus was a man with a lot of responsibilities. But he didn't let those responsibilities get in the way of meeting the needs emotionally and otherwise of his family. Which brings us to the second thing that I think we really see in this guy, Jairus. And that's, he was a man of character and integrity. And I say that because, honestly, he would never have been given the responsibility to oversee the synagogue otherwise. Let's just say the synagogue had very high standards for that position. So Jairus would have been the kind of man who just, he lived his life with the kind of integrity that others would have noticed. A life that was respected by the people around him. A life that was seen as righteous, as upright. A life that was honest and sincere. He was someone who was trustworthy, someone who did his best to live a holy life. In short, he was a man of character. And again, this is really something that's so important, well, for all of us to do, but even for us fathers especially. It's so important because we need to be living our lives in a way knowing that our kids are watching us. You know, by the way that we live our lives, we are setting our children on a course. We are giving our kids an example that they are going to follow. You know, by what we do, by our spending habits, by the way we resolve conflict, by our worship habits, by the way we approach our work, by our devotional life, by the way we handle hard times and stress. You know, in all of these things, in everything we do, our children, they are watching us and they are also learning how to live by our example. As a little poem says, it says, "A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be, the little child that follows me." And that is why it is so important just to let our children see our character lived out. But even more than character, another thing that our children really need to be see lived out in our life is just our love for our kids and for our family. And this is the third thing I think we see in the life of Jairus. Just as a father, you can see his love for his child. Because as you read this passage, I mean, you get this amazing picture of this man coming to Jesus and he's in fear and he's trembling because the daughter that he loves is sick. And she's not just sick, she's on death's door. And one of the hardest things for a father to endure is seeing his children suffer in sickness. And yet you can't help but see the love that Jairus has for his child. Welcome back. So we've had some technical difficulties. What we think happened is YouTube has put a copyright notice. They think we're stealing something. So they shut down the live stream that we were at. And you think, let's put the AI in control. What could go wrong? Well, yeah, so we got flagged for something. So they shut down the live stream we were in and we had to start a new one. So if you're interested, afterwards, we'll edit it all together and kind of try to put the regular stream online. For now, we're just going to kind of pick up where we think we left off. That's talking about Jairus. And I had kind of finished the second point about just sort of needing to live a life that is an example to kids. But even more than character, I said, children need to see our love for them. This is the third point. And the third thing we really see in Jairus, that as a father, he really loved his child. You know, and as you read this passage, you really picture, you have this picture of Jairus going to Jesus, and he's terrified. He's in fear. He's in panic. He's trembling because his daughter was sick. And she's not just sick. She's on death's door. And one of the hardest things for fathers is to see their children suffering in sickness. And yet you can't help but see the love that Jairus has for this child as he falls on his knees and just begs Jesus to save his daughter. He was not embarrassed or ashamed to express his love for her, even before, you know, this crowd of people that was surrounding Jesus that day. And in that culture at that time, that would have been a very sort of almost humiliating thing for him to do. And yet he doesn't care because he loves his daughter so much. And in a very real way, I think the love that this father has is partly at the heart of this entire story. This is, Jairus is a loving, faithful father who would do anything to save the life of his child because he loves her so much. And as fathers, the lesson for us is that we need to embrace that too. It needs to be part of who we are and who we need to be for our families. We need to learn to show our softer side. We need to let our families know that we love them. And one of the best ways to do that, again, comes back to the balance thing, but one of the best ways to let our families know that we love them is just to spend time with them. Just to take time to hug our kids and tell them how important they are, to sit with them and just to listen to them, hear what they're going through, listen to their problems, take time to play with them, do things with them. Make time for your families, because time is something our families desperately need. John Trent, who's a writer, he writes one of my favorite stories about a father who made a commitment to giving time to his family. And he writes, for several years, a father had been taking his oldest girl out for date time, where they would spend quality time together, just all alone, just the two of them. And the day had come for him to go on his very first date with his youngest daughter, who was two. So he took her out for breakfast. And they'd just gotten their pancakes when the father decided that would be a good time to tell his child how much he loved and appreciated her. "Jenny," he said, "I want you to know how much I love you and how special you are to Mom and me. We prayed for you for years, and now that you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl, we couldn't be more proud of you." And once he had said that, he stopped talking and again reached for his fork to start eating, but he never got it to his mouth because the little daughter reached out her hand and laid it on her father's hand, and her eyes went to hers, and in a soft, pleading voice, she said, "Longer, Daddy, longer." Well, he put down his fork and proceeded to tell her some more reasons that they loved her and appreciated her. But each time he reached for his fork, he heard those words again, "Longer, Daddy, longer." Well, the father didn't get to eat very much that morning, but his daughter got the emotional nourishment every child needs so much. That's the lesson. We need to be available and accessible to our children. We need to be there to sit with them, listen to them, learn about the people they're becoming. We need to talk with them and walk with them and sit with them. We need to give them our time, and we need to show them our love. And I'll just add here, that's not just dads to kids. We need to love our wives as well, fathers. And even though Mrs. Jairus is barely mentioned in the story, one of the most important things a father can do is to love the mother of his children. And I've talked to you about this before, just that backbone, that mother-father relationship, how that's the backbone of every healthy family. Men, take your wife out on a date and make that a habit. Do things for your wife on a regular basis that will make her feel special and make her feel loved. And tell her that as often as you can, because children need their moms and dads just to love each other. There's actually a survey conducted in an Oklahoma high school, and they brought in 10 of the most sort of rebellious kids in that school, ones who had failed in the classroom, one who wouldn't submit to authority, and they were asked a series of questions. And one of the questions was asked, "When was the last time you heard your mom and dad say, 'I love you,' to each other?" And wouldn't you know it, all 10 of those kids couldn't remember the last time they heard their parents say that. Or if they could, it would have been like several years ago, but nothing recently. Well, then that same school brought in the top 10 students who were brought in. Students had the best grade, who seemed to relate best to their peers and their teachers and the people in positions of authority. They were asked the same questions. And when they were asked, "When was the last time you heard your parents say, 'I love you,' to one another?" their answer was always, "Today," or "Yesterday," or that week at the latest. That's how important it is for kids to see their parents loving one another. Fathers, we need to be men who are not ashamed or too busy to show our love for our wives and for our kids. It makes such a difference in our home. But not just love. Again, one more thing we need to be able to show to our families is our faith. And again, we see Jairus here. In our passage, he comes to Jesus. He doesn't send his wife. He doesn't send a servant. He went to Jesus himself. And he doesn't wait for the crowds to thin to get close to Jesus. He doesn't wait for the dark of night like Nicodemus did. Jairus comes to Jesus out in the open. And in verse 41, it says, And there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. And again, this is the fourth lesson we can learn about Jairus, is that godly fathers are not ashamed to show their faith in Christ. Godly fathers are not ashamed to publicly seek the Lord. And godly fathers are not ashamed to invite Jesus into their home. I actually remember when me and Kathy were first engaged, I talked to her dad, asked permission, did all that stuff. And he gave us a piece of advice I will never forget. He simply said, keep Christ at the center of your marriage and everything else will fall into place. And you know, one thing our country still needs today is Christian homes where Christ resides. Homes where Christ is welcome. Homes where Christ is more than a picture on a wall, but a place where his presence is acknowledged and his name is honored and his word is obeyed. Let your homes be places of faith, a place where God is real, where prayer happens, where the stories of the Bible are told, where the Bible is read, places where you tell your own stories about the faithfulness of God in your life. And of all the places, the home has to be the best place for our children to hear about Jesus, to hear his story about his incredible birth, about his teachings, about the miracles, about the cross, his resurrection, and his plan of salvation, to hear about heaven and the hope to be found in him. Invite your children to believe in Jesus, put their faith in Christ. And who better to lead a child to the Lord than their own mom or dad? You know, the Bible states clearly over and over, the primary responsibility for teaching children, educating children in spiritual matters, is not the job of the church or Sunday school or Christian schools or anything else. That responsibility is given to the parents. And don't just tell them those things, show them. Live that truth out in your life. But let your kids see and hear about your faith. Which brings us to the final lesson that Jairus has to teach us. And this lesson may be the most important of all. And this lesson is how do we deal with those interruptions that come our way in life? Look at verse 42. 42 continues. It says, as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? When all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowd surround you and are pressing in on you. But Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And you know, these verses, I think, capture the reality of being a father and being a parent and probably just being human in general, really, because think about what's happening here. Because things don't always work out the way you want them to do. Here we have Jairus, who's going along happily, living probably a pretty good life, and then one day his daughter gets sick. Maybe she gets a fever. Within days, his worst fears are realized. She's going to die. But then suddenly a sliver of hope, as you hear Jesus has come into your area. So in a desperate move, Jairus goes out to him and throws himself at Jesus' feet and asks him and begs him, Jesus, can you come and heal my daughter? The situation is desperate. And Jesus says, yes. But then on your way back to your house, with your daughter's life hanging in the balance, Jesus stops walking. And he looks at the crowd because someone has touched him, of all things. And after a few precious minutes of people kind of looking at their feet in denial, nobody saying anything, this woman comes forward and explains that she's the one who touched Jesus to be healed. Because for 12 years, She's been waiting to be healed. And she chose that moment then to do it. And I think there's an irony at play here because we're told Jairus' daughter was also 12. This woman had been suffering for as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. But now his daughter's life is literally hanging in the balance. And we think that's the moment she picked for this. She couldn't wait just one more day or one more hour. And then after that delay, as a father, Jairus' worst fears are realized. Because as Jesus is being distracted by this woman, someone comes up and gives him the news, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Verse 49, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. And I'm sure in that moment, Jairus' world collapsed. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about interruptions. They come for all of us. The interruption of losing a job, the interruption of a child who rebels, the interruption of a sickness, of a marriage breaking down, the interruption of cancer, the interruption of broken dreams, even of losing a child. Being a father means facing those interruptions, sometimes on a regular basis, facing those hurts, facing those pains that are so often just outside of your control. But what do we do about that? And how do we deal with it? Well, the answer is given to us by Jesus. And that is, we trust God. Verse 50 says, but Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. And what a powerful truth is held in Jesus' words for all of us. He says, don't be afraid, only believe. And I think that may be the best Father's Day advice I could ever give to fathers out there. Fathers, when you find yourself in one of those places where you have nowhere left to turn, you can still turn to Christ. You can find your true strength, your true peace in Him. Being a faithful dad, I mean, it's too big of a job for us to think we can do it all on our own or all in our own strength. We need to look to Jesus to help us do it. And not just in a crisis, but to do that daily, to go to Him and find that He will be our strength. We need to live by a faith and not by fear, because we know that God is bigger than our limitations, and He's bigger even than those interruptions that come our way in life. And we see that as we go through the rest of the story. Verse 51 says, when He came to the house, He allowed no one to enter with Him except Peter, John, and James, and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But He said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, He called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned. And she got up at once, and He directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but He charged them to tell no one what had happened. You see, God was up to something that Jairus could not have seen in the present moment. God's provision and goodness was more than Jairus could have understood, even when he fell on his face before the Lord. And that is what Jairus teaches us about being faithful fathers. A faithful father is a man who finds a healthy balance in his life. Faithful father is a man who lives out his character and his integrity as an example to his children. Faithful father is a father who loves his family. A faithful father is a man of faith who invites Jesus into his home. And a faithful father is a father who trusts in God, even in those moments when the world drops out from beneath his feet. And that's our challenge this morning. Because being that kind of a dad won't happen on its own. It means actually choosing to be that kind of father. James Dobson, in his book, Dare to Discipline, says, good fathers are made, not born. And I probably say this all the time, but it's a choice. A choice that we make that really can't wait. It won't wait until you get that promotion you've always dreamed of. It won't wait, for your finances to get better. It won't wait for a more convenient time, and it's certainly not going to, our kids aren't going to stop growing up so they can wait for us to make this decision. We need to decide today. and each and every day to be the kind of fathers we want to be. And I'll admit that's not always easy. Being a dad is tough. It's hard. It's tiring, often exhausting. You know, it's 24/7. You don't get to punch out or go off the clock, but that's what being a dad is all about. So fathers who are listening today, know that God has placed you in your family for a purpose, and that is to be a faithful father. And now just in the few minutes that we have left, I just want to speak to the rest of us this morning. Because Father's Day is about honoring our fathers. That's biblical. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And I just want to sort of make it real practical quickly as we close. So let me give you just five things that all of us, the rest of us, can do to show our fathers just how much we appreciate them today and Father's Day and any time. These are five things you can do to honor your dad. First thing you can do is take time to learn your father's story. You know, I can imagine Jairus' daughter hearing over and over about how her dad brought Jesus home that day to save her life, and how she probably passed that story onto her children and her children onto their children. So what's your father's story? You know what? Ask him questions about how, you know, what was he like when he was a kid? How he met his mom? What was his first job? What was his first car? What was he like in high school? You know, and you can even, you know, create a bit of a record or a journal or you know, make a timeline or a scrapbook or something detailing your father's story. You know, most dads, I think, will delight in sharing those kind of things, sharing those memories with their kids. But I think most dads will also wait until they're asked before they share those things. So ask, take time to learn your father's story. The second thing we can do is just give your father a handwritten letter telling him how much he means to you. And this is good for kids of any age. You know, I used to get those little letters from my kid when they were just young, just learning to write, where all the words are spelled wrong. Those things are precious. And now that my kids are older, they can express themselves in new ways. And it's just, as a dad, it's wonderful to have something from your kid in their own words, in their own handwriting, just expressing those things that you can hold on to. They become keepsakes and so precious. Those are the kind of things that just are an encouragement to me and to all fathers. And you're never too old or too young to write that kind of letter to your dad. And, you know, even if your dad has passed on, you can still write a letter, just reminding yourself of all that your dad meant to you. So write your dad a letter. That's the second thing you can do. Third thing, if you're able, just simply say thank you and I love you to your dad as often as you can. Every time you see each other, make sure you say at least one of those words. I don't think we can say it enough. Your father will appreciate hearing those things. Then fourthly, fourth thing we can do to honor our fathers is we can seek to live out our father's legacy. Ask yourself, what was important to your father? Was it hard work, respecting authority? Was it honesty, generosity, you know, family, something else? Well, make sure that as your father's child, you're living your life in such a way that you're respecting those values that your parents were trying to instill in you. I actually found a great quote this week that says, "A father is a man who expects his son to be as good a man as he meant to be." That's what I'm talking about here. Live in such a way you know you would make your father proud. Be the person your dad wanted you to be. Live out their legacy in your life. And then finally this morning, if you want to honor your dad, the advice I would give you is forgive him. You know what? No dad is perfect. And I know that we make mistakes just like anyone else. And sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we raise our voice. Sometimes we say the wrong things. Sometimes we do things that hurt our children, even when all we wanted to do was help. And you know what? As dads, we can carry a lot of guilt about that. But if there is an issue between you and your dad this Father's Day, offer the gift of your forgiveness to him. And do it today. Because today is Father's Day. It's the day we honor and thank our fathers for all that they do and are in our lives. And this morning we want to thank you, faithful fathers. We thank you for your tireless and selfless dedication to your families. We thank you for your godly examples in our homes, your spiritual leadership. We thank you for loving your wives, our mothers, in the way that reveals God's love to us, and for just being there for us when life gets tough. We thank you for providing for the needs of your families, for your discipline, though difficult, for your time, though precious. We thank you just for all your faithfulness and the unconditional love you show all of your children. Fathers, this morning, we thank you, and may you be blessed on this day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for fathers, and we acknowledge that, Lord, fathers were your idea to begin with. When you created the family, you created a father and a mother to be the perfect environment for raising kids. And Lord, we thank you for the fathers in our lives. We thank you for all the men who are good examples to us as we are growing. And Lord, I know that earthly fathers aren't always perfect, but we are so thankful for those men who put forth the effort just to be the best dads that they can be. And we pray, Lord, that they would be honored here this day by the people who are listening today. And Lord, for those people who don't have that faithful father in their life, whose earthly father may have hurt them, Lord, we also want to point them towards their heavenly father. Because, Lord, even in the absence of our earthly fathers, Lord, you are the one who never fails us, never lets us down, who will always be there, who can be our strength and our peace, and just that presence in our life who shows us that kind of love, even if our earthly fathers never did. And Lord, I pray just, Lord, for the healing that will come for those people as well. But Lord, again, just bless our earthly fathers, our faithful fathers this day. And we would pray that the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with them as they are blessed on this day that we honor them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to just thank you once again for joining us. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but we do pray you would have an opportunity just to honor your father today. So be blessed this week, and pray that you would know the peace of God as we depart. So until next week,